know the vibes. Welcome back to the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. My esteemed colleague, my brother, BJ Armstrong, I'm going to let you do the intro while I enjoy these delicious barbecue wings, because that's how Chris starts for Zingas Street in Dallas. So I'm going to finish my barbecue wings. You do the intro. You introduce yourself and Scott.
Hey. You know the vibes. You know the vibes. Barbecue chicken. A side of extra hot sauce. You know. Spicy barbecue chicken. This guy Mo is unbelievable.
It's 4:30 in the morning. I just finished a TV show. Now we're here back to do the podcast. We got Scott Perry in the house, everyone. Shout out to Scott Perry once again joining us. So I got a mouthful of chicken. I would have done a better intro, but
Mo, man, you're making me hungry. I didn't know they had wings that looked that good over there in Manchester where you at today.
Hey, Scott, you don't get as big as I am without having good wings on deck. Now, the thing about Manchester, there's good wings. And there's good something else too, but we ain't going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it again. Shout out to the beautiful ladies in this part of town. Anyway, I'm going to give you, BJ, the chance here to give a new prediction of how the finals are going to go. Or are you staying?
I'm staying with what I said. Great job by the Celtics. Home court matters, and they play exceptionally well. In particular, Porzingis was fabulous. He was fabulous. And again, when you get those unlikely contributions, I didn't expect him to have, what did he score, like 18 points here in the first half?
Yeah, 20 points in 20 minutes.
Hey. You know what? What can you say? Bravo. He stepped up in a big moment. They needed it. It gave them a significant advantage. And game one, Celtics.
Well, for you guys who didn't actually see the game, the Celtics won 107-89. They had six players scoring in double digits. Now, let's talk about Porzingis to begin this, because Scott, all season long, you've been saying to me, the real test for the Celtics is how does Porzingis perform on a big stage? Because he's never been there. You know, this was the big, all the other guys, they've been conference finals. Drew Holiday's a champion. What's your takeaway from game one?
Kristaps, you couldn't ask for a better start from Kristaps Porzingis. If you're the Celtics and Kristaps himself, I mean, he played a phenomenal game on both sides of the floor. For this to be his first game outside of the first round, and let alone it be the NBA Finals. I mean, he was very poised. I thought he was aggressive at both ends. Mm-hmm. And he provided the energy necessary for this team to really separate themselves from the Mavericks tonight. You know, one thing I want to point out, and, you know, we're going to talk about this as the series moves forward, because this obviously is one game, you know. So the Celtics, they're up 1-0. This still a long way to go in this series. But we always talk about adjustments. Shout out to Joe Mazzulla tonight. He made the first decision in this series, and that was deciding to bring Porzingis off the bench, which I thought was a really good decision on his part. I think it took a little pressure off of him. I mean, he's, you know, been away from the team for 38 days. He hadn't played a game in 38 days. Mm-hmm. So to bring him off the bench, go with the group that had basically brought you here in the playoffs with Al Horford starting. And then when Porzingis enters the game, it gave him a chance to kind of read the game a little bit, you know, see what the flow was like. And then I think that even contributed more to the spark that he was able to provide off that bench. And it'll be interesting moving forward. I would think that they're going to continue to bring him off the bench for the next few games. But kudos to Joe Mazzulla. And then he also went to his bench pretty early to get guys like Sam Hauser involved in the game, Peyton Pritchard, you know, let a lot of those guys get their feet wet their first time in an NBA final. So good job by him. And I know Jason Kidd, now it's on him to respond in game two to make the necessary adjustments for the Dallas Mavericks.
You bring up a great point there, Scott, because number one, there's two reasons why I like this. Number one, the Mavericks planning for this game would have been a little thrown off because they may have expected Porzingis to be in the starting lineup, because I think that's what a lot of people expected when they said he was healthy. But number two, Lively checking into the game at the 7-8 minute mark of the first quarter is a huge impact substitution for the Dallas Mavericks. Most teams don't have a big they can bring off the bench that can match that. Excuse me. Yes. So to make that decision to have Porzingis coming in, but this is what I want to talk about. And I want you guys to put your coaching hats on. Porzingis scored 20 points. Only six of them came from behind the arc. He utilized the mismatches against smaller defenders on the Mavericks to shoot over the top of them in the mid-range and go to work on that post. I want to know how you, as a coach, if you were Jason Kidd, are going to counteract that in game two, because that seems to be a problem that the Mavericks could not solve in game one. And that was the difference in the game for Boston.
Well, what I noticed today from the Dallas defense that wasn't as good as it's been, you know, over the last couple series. Boston did a excellent job of getting into the lane and creating the ball movement necessary to get a lot of the threes that they took in this game. They did, and they obviously were searching out Luka Doncic a lot, because Dallas was switching a lot, and they sought him out. And Luka did okay with the initial surge, but when Jaylen Brown and Tatum and even Porzingis, all those guys forced the issue to get into the lane, things broke down. They weren't getting good help. They weren't really protecting the rim, and that's where things began to break down. They must figure out a way to try to keep this Dallas team out of the lane to get them and keep them stagnant on the perimeter. See, it's a different three-point shot.
You mean this Boston team, right?
This Boston team, I'm sorry. Yeah, this Boston team, because it's a different three-point shot when you're guarded and you kind of standing, you know, locked leg. But when your teammates are penetrating the lane, now the Dallas defense is helping and having to rotate and you're making that extra pass. Now you got time to get yourself set. You're shooting in a much greater rhythm. And that's what led to the great disparity in the three-point shooting tonight. So that's going to be the back and forth in this series, if you will. They, you know, and BJ made the point the other day about this, you know, when you get to the finals, it'd be about a battle of wills. Well, defensively, the will of the Mavericks players has to be that we've got, when whoever we switch on to, we've got to do a better job of keeping our man out of the lane so it doesn't kickstart all of this ball and player movement that led to the Celtics getting a lot of easy scores.
BJ, if you're the coach, how are you solving this problem of Porzingis posting up these smaller players and just scoring over them with ease?
Well, again, you know, I think it was something that kind of, it appeared to be, it was kind of caught everyone off guard. I mean, Porzingis coming off the bench, That was a pretty nice adjustment, because you didn't really know where he was going to play. And when I say play, he's been starting when he's been playing all year, and then all of a sudden you bring him off the bench. Now, give them credit. I think Scott made a great observation. We talk about the 3-point shooting, and certainly the Celtics were terrific from there. But the most impressive thing was how many paint touches they got. I mean, they really attacked the paint. And that was due to, you know, the ability to shoot the threes like we know they've been doing all year. But then when you don't settle for just shooting threes, yes, and you get those paint touches, now you have a nice balance within your offensive scheme. So now the Dallas Mavericks are going to have to figure out what type of defense, in particular help defense, they're going to provide and live with something. And I think you got to live with the 3-point shot. You got to live with the contested, because if you continue to attack the paint like this, I mean, this, you know, give the Celtics credit. They were playing very well. And then when you get those type of contributions off the bench, suddenly now that's a massive confidence booster for any team when you get 18, 20 points in the first half from any player. So they had it going tonight. I thought it was good. I think the Dallas Mavericks will go back. Clearly, they'll figure out what they want to do. But I think the big adjustment is how you're going to match up with Porzingis. I think you're going to have to take that away. If he continues to have big moments like this, that's going to be very hard to overcome.
If you guys recall, you know, late in the second quarter, it was a subtle thing, but Dallas, it was a 25-point game, and then I think going in at halftime, it was like 21. Dallas scored a couple baskets. And I thought, you know, and I've always believed this, the first 5 minutes of the third quarter are some of the toughest minutes to play in a basketball game. From either side, if you're the team up big like the Celtics, can you come out with the same energy? Which I didn't think they did. I thought Dallas did a much better job of defending it at that time. And when they cut it to eight, that's when I got to give the Celtics credit that they really, and we've been talking about that, started forcing the issue by getting back into the lane and weren't going to just settle for three-point shots. The Celtics have to remain disciplined that way and not fall into those traps and lulls, which I thought they did in the beginning of the third, which allowed Dallas to cut into the lead by eight. So I'm sure Dallas is going to look at that stretch last couple minutes of the second quarter, first 6-7 minutes of the third, to see what they were doing at that time, and then, you know, try to build off those minutes in that game, carry it into game two. And then, you know, we haven't talked about Kyrie at all. You got to believe that Kyrie Irving is going to play a lot better. Yeah. He missed a lot of shots that he normally makes in a game like today. Now I expect a better Kyrie in game two.
Let me just touch back on what you said about the start of the third quarter. How much of that can you attribute to what Dallas did well versus Boston doing what they typically do when they have a lead, is kind of sitting back and not really playing? Because their offense wasn't moving the same way, their defense.
Right.
I remember Kyrie had a three. I think he missed it, but no one even closed out to him.
He was wide open.
So how much of that can you really add to your game plan if from the outset it looks as if the Celtics just took their foot off the gas?
Well, Jason will make that determination, but I think it was a combination of both, to be honest with you. We have seen that tendency from Boston throughout the year to take their foot off the gas, get a little careless, you know, ease up just a touch. But I did think Dallas came out determined to play much better. This was the first half of an NBA final for everybody on that team that wasn't named Kyrie Irving. So, with a young group like that, you got to figure, okay, let's settle down a little bit. And listening in to a little bit of the halftime talk from Jason Kidd from the broadcast, he talked to him about that. Hey, let's just go play. Hey, man, it's still basketball. You know, let's settle in, settle down. I think that calmed this group down a little bit. But again, the Celtics responded after that 6 or 7 minute run by Dallas.
Now, we know the playoffs are all about how teams match up with each other and different styles of play. The Dallas Mavericks, throughout the playoffs so far, attempt the most corner threes, and they knocked them down so far before this game at 39%. The Celtics, on the other hand, are a defense that hate giving up corner threes. They give up just 1.5 corner threes per game, and you saw tonight, they took that away from the Dallas Mavericks. PJ Washington and Derek Jones Jr., who was so successful against OKC, against the Timberwolves, and knocking down those threes from the corner. Tonight, you know, the Mavericks only had 6 assists as a team until they took their starters out at the end of the fourth. I think Luka only finished with 1 assist. He averages 10 a game. Mm-hmm. So the Celtics taking away those passing options. BJ, you broke down the Dallas offense so well in the previous series. Can you break down what the Celtics did defensively in their coverage of that Doncic pick and roll, which is the backbone of the Mavericks offense?
Well, I thought they did a great job of shrinking the court. You know, every team has an ability to take away something. And when you're playing against a great player like a Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, and these guys, listen, they're going to catch a flow. You know, Luka, what did he finish with tonight? I mean, he
still had 30.
Yeah, 30. So, points, I mean, yeah. Okay.
and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, and he's going to figure out something. Okay, yeah, right. Now, he's going to figure. I mean, we're talking about they did a great job, and he had 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but he has that ball in his hand an awful lot, as we know.
Yes,
exactly. BJ, if you limit Luka Doncic to 30 points, right, he's going to get his 30 points regardless. But you take away those 10 assists, that's 20, 30 points that you're limiting from him. So really and truly, he produces 60, 70 points in an NBA game, whether it's scoring assists or secondary assists. But tonight they held him to just 30 points.
Right. And listen, I'm giving the Celtics credit. The Celtics were terrific tonight. The Celtics did everything they had to do. And it always helps when the ball goes through the basket. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that helps. And tonight it was all about the Celtics. They did what they had to do. I'm going to always expect a great player to respond and rebound. Kyrie had his bad game.
Right.
Now, Kyrie Irving is going to come back here. And
yeah,
he's not going to have, what do you have, 10, 12 points tonight?
12 points. Yeah.
12 points. He's going to come back. They're going to figure out how to utilize and get the ball and do what we call, you're going to penetrate the defense. Now, if it's one thing that I thought they did with Luka is they committed to him early in the shot clock. They didn't allow him. They defended him like a great player. Do not allow a great player to be great. Now, Luka still had 30. He did what he had to do. But now they're going to – Jason Kidd, in my opinion, they're going to have to figure out how to get Luka the ball with a live dribble below the free throw line so that he can – open up this defense, because they really did a great job, I thought, of shrinking the court. They made the game, they made the game small. Luka, basically, he had to shoot probably not in his same rhythm. He wasn't able to just pick on players, pick on matchups that he wanted. So give the Celtics credit. I thought they came out, they took away something, and it worked tonight. But game two will be the game. Now we'll find out what's what, who's who. And then we're going to need Kyrie, and I say we. The Mavericks are going to need Kyrie to be Kyrie. You know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I thought both of them played very aggressive. And then you get this tremendous, tremendous effort from Porzingis coming off the bench. So I thought overall they were terrific. They held home court like they're supposed to do. But I think they're going to really have to win game two. And I say really win game two because you want to hold home court when you're playing in the NBA Finals. It's not an impossible,
right?
To come back from, 1-1, or, if you go down 0-2, if you're the Mavericks, but you're feeling really good if you are the Celtics, if you can really hold home court here and go back to Dallas up 2-0.
You know, one thing that we talked about going into this series was the effectiveness of both Gafford and Derek Lively catching those lobs and finishing at the rim. That was one thing that I thought Boston did a nice job of taking.
They were committed to.
They were committed to that.
Did you see
him
tonight?
I saw it was one or two attempted, but there was nothing really there. And that, for the way Luka plays and how he handles the ball, having that as an outlet just makes him that much more of a dangerous scorer. So that was taken away from him tonight. Can they do that again in game two? That'll be the big question and big challenge for Boston.
You know, Scott, one of the things that you always hear about, especially when you're playing in the NBA Finals, is you got to stay connected. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Celtics were the team that were much more connected tonight on both sides of the ball. They really had, I thought, a very solid game plan. They executed the game plan. And it always helps when you make shots, right? It helps. Yes. You're playing in front of your crowd, so forth and so on. And right now, I never thought that the Dallas figured out defensively what they were really want to do. They weren't playing with the same flow. They didn't exploit the matchups probably they thought for whatever the reasons may be. And but like I said, I thought the crowd there was great for Boston, and they came out and played well. So it was a great game one for the Celtics.
Yeah, there was a few things that caught my attention. I think Derek Lively being in foul trouble definitely didn't help, because he's a far superior passer to Daniel Gafford. And when he had to sit on the bench with those five fouls, that was a big hit for the Mavericks trying to get back into the game. And credit to Jaylen Brown for knowing that he's on three fouls. And the next few possessions, he goes directly at Derek Lively, draws those fouls by going hard to the paint. I thought that was huge from the impact that that had on Dallas defensively and offensively without Lively. My question to you is, though, how many the three-point shooting tonight, you know, with the exception of Luka scoring four of them, the rest of the team only scored three three-pointers in a 48-minute game. How are the Mavericks going to be able to take more shots from downtown?
Well, they've got to get Boston, you know, to commit a second defender. I think the only time, like with Luka, they allowed Jaylen Brown to pretty much play him head up, or Tatum switched on to him, or even Drew Holiday. It was only when Derek White was on him that I see it, that got a second guy really come over to, and commit to Luka. Somehow they've just got to get the.
That's the Celtics' philosophy, though, is to not throw two guys at
exactly. Someone. No question. They only did it with the only time I saw him do it was with Derek White tonight. They had to commit because I think Luka can really just overpower him more so than the other guys. Not that he can't score over the other guys, but they hold their own a little bit better, a one-on-one against him.
Yeah.
So, but look, Kyrie missed some open looks today. Derrick Jones hit the very first one of the game. But then he shied away from taking them. Maxi Kleber had a couple open looks that he didn't even take. And, you know, if you're Boston, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure Maxi Kleber, Derrick Jones Jr., PJ Washington, that's who you want taking the threes if you're Boston from the Mavericks. So that's what I would expect in this next game. Look, let those guys beat us. See if they can beat you on the road. Because as we know, a lot of times the support players and the role players tend to play a lot better at home and shoot a lot better on the home than they do on the road. And so if I'm Boston, I'm going to go down allowing those guys to have career nights from three in Boston. Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances at that and just make Luka and Kyrie just take contested shots all night and just, you know, really make them work to get their points because they're going to score. But you just want them to shoot, you know, subpar percentages.
Now, I'm already dreading tuning into any U.S. coverage of the NBA tomorrow because I know the story they're going to pick up on is Jason Tatum only having 16 points. But I thought Jason Tatum played a really good game. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. He did have 6 turnovers, which he said immediately after the game is something that he needs to address for game 2. But he was making a concerted effort to get downhill and drive into that clogged, painted area, BJ, that you've spoken about a lot. And then ping those passes out, spray those passes to the corners and to the wings. Obviously, he got 5 assists out of them. He got 6 turnovers out of them. This is not his usual game, but this is something that's been a point of emphasis for the Celtics now, as they know how Dallas likes to defend teams. And right. It was almost like a point Tatum, you know, drawing in that defense and then trying to assist his guys. I was impressed with how he plays, especially on the defensive end. He had a huge block. Jaylen Brown had 3 steals and 2 blocks as well. A huge block on Kyrie, which kind of energized the crowd. What were your thoughts on Jason Tatum in tonight's game?
I thought Jason Tatum did what Jason Tatum had to do. You know, you can't ever let scoring or your offensive productivity determine whether or not you play well. I thought he did a great job. I thought he was engaged into the game. I mean, you know, he played like 40 something minutes.
Yep.
He was engaged. I mean, they did a good job and they were all sharp. I mean, that ball was popping. It was moving. They were attacking the paint. They played the game the right way. Okay. And they should have won this game. They played to win. I thought they were the better team tonight. However, if they're going to close this out, right, and now you're talking about trying to finish, they're going to need a tremendous effort, okay, from Jason Tatum. Make no doubt about it, okay? This is Jason Tatum, but he did what he had to do tonight. And, you know, I would be very surprised if a 16-point effort by Jason Tatum gets it done in a closeout game, okay?
No question.
But game one, he did what he had to do. I thought overall he played a great game. I thought he brought the energy. He brought the effort. He did everything correct. All right. He had some turnovers. That's to be expected. But you know, if you're going to continue to progress as this is going to amp up a little bit, right? Every game is going to amp up. It's going to get tougher. The teams are going to get a little bit more, you know, they're going to get more familiar with one another. And we can't forget this. And Scott, I think you, I know you know this. Your first time to the NBA Finals, there was a lot of nerves there.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, no question. You can see
Okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your first time is like, it's overwhelming. The media, the coverage, the you know, there's a rhythm to the game, right? NBA players are creatures of habit for the most part. You got your routine, you got your this, you got your that that you do. And all of a sudden in the NBA Finals, it gets thrown off a little bit.
Yeah, for
Okay.
sure.
So I'm not taking away anything from Boston, but now everyone's going to settle in. And the hard part of a series is always you know, normally you lose and you move on to the next city. I want to see how Dallas is going to respond because everyone's going to be singing the praise of the Celtics for the next couple of days or two
Right.
or three days when they
Yeah.
before them. And that to me is the hardest part because you really have to lock out or, you know, really, if you're, especially if you win and you sit, have to sit in the city, you can't get too many, you know, everybody's great job, Scott. Great job,
Right.
Mo. Great job. And everywhere
Right.
you
Yeah.
go, every time
Right.
you do. And then if you're the other team, oh, the series is over. If you're down, and Dallas is
Right.
going to,
Yeah. Right.
okay. Oh, we're going to win our 18th championship. And everyone, and that could be a negative effect if you're the other team, you know? So
Right.
we're going to see a new game in game two. And I
Right.
think for this Dallas Mavericks team, because of, you know, for many of them, with the exception of Kyrie Irving, I think they will settle in too into the rhythm of the NBA Finals. And then we'll kind of see and have a better evaluation of what's going on there.
I just want to add one point about Jason Tatum. You chime in on him. Man, I see a lot of growth and maturity in him
Yes.
during this playoff run. Because to your point, you know, a couple of years ago, if the shots weren't falling and he was having some turnovers early, he might shy away from the game a little bit. That guy stayed engaged and focused the entire game. He got 11 rebounds. He was, you know, good at finding open teammates. I thought he drove hard a few times, got fouled, didn't allow that to impact him. He knows better than anybody. The most important thing for him in this series is trying to figure out how to win four games and become a champion. He could care less about what his shooting percentage is and what his numbers. Now, I agree with BJ. He can't average 16 from here on out, and I think the Celtics win. You know, but that the 25 point games are gonna come. That's just who he is. But I really appreciated and loved his engagement from the start of this game. And he really didn't take a whole lot of shots early. He took what the defense was giving him, but he was aggressive, he was assertive, he was engaged at both ends. And that has, to me, has shown a lot of growth and maturity in him, and kudos to him.
And to expand on both of your points, you talking about Jason Tatum, but also BJ talking about players having to listen to what the media says. The entire build up to this finals was the media questioning if Jason Tatum is really a superstar. They were trying to say, is Jaylen Brown better than Jason Tatum? Is Jason Tatum a top five player? Whatever, whatever, whatever. He has tuned that out so well that he doesn't pay attention to it. A lot of players would have heard all of that noise and come into this game and try to get as many shots for themselves as they possibly could. He started this game looking for his teammates before he even looked score. If you go back and watch his first few drives to the paint, he wasn't even looking to score. He was looking to find his teammates on the perimeter. So for him to hear all of that noise and all those question marks that people have around him, that's a true sign of maturity, but also someone who wants to win a championship more than they want to be the hero. I don't think Jason Tatum could care less about who wins Finals MVP.
Oh, no
As long as
question.
he's holding the Larry
Sure.
O'Brien trophy, he doesn't care if it's Paul Zingas, if it's Jaylen Brown, if it's Al Horford. As long as there's not someone in a Mavericks uniform, I think he's good.
Oh, there's no question about it. You can see that in how he's playing, for sure.
So looking ahead to game two, What are some of the other adjustments? BJ, you want to see Luka get the ball below the free throw line because we know you're going to tell us about the key operating areas where teams can't double team from, the pinch post. I've been doing this show long enough. I'm already telling you, BJ.
You know what it is. Okay, so
Do you know what it is, BJ?
I was doing
the show today on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And they asked me, what adjustments should the Mavericks make in the second half? And I was about to answer with exactly what you would say. And I just thought, I can't do it. It's not right if BJ's not on the show with me. I can't give them the game if they don't bring my brother along with me. Like, what's going on?
They don't know.
So I had to give them a different answer.
Yeah, but I think the big thing for the Dallas Mavericks is defensively now, they have to figure out and take away something from the Celtics. The Celtics were operating on all cylinders tonight. They're going to have to figure out to take away something. I think it was Scott who said earlier, you got to live with this three-point shot. You got to keep them out of the paint. They are just driving them. Talking about the Dallas Mavericks, they're going to have to keep them out of the paint. I think the Celtics got up like 40-some threes tonight.
Yeah, 42.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. When you say live with the three-point shot, right? If you're the Celtics and you're looking at the Mavericks, you'll live with PJ Washington and Derrick Jones Jr. shooting threes, right? But if you're Dallas, who are you looking at on the Celtics and saying, we're happy with Jason Tatum shooting open shots, Jaylen Brown, Porzingis?
When I say live with the three, first thing, you got to get the right matchups so that they can't just be driving the ball and creating opportunities where you have to help. First, we got to get the right matchups, okay? And we're going to have to – and the Dallas Mavericks are going to have to defend with discipline. Right. You got to have to defend with discipline versus this team because they have five guys that are all capable of shooting threes, including Al Horford, right? It's not like there's a designated guy that can help when you're playing against the Boston Celtics.
The first play of the game, Al Horford pump fakes a three-point shot, drives baseline, and dunks it. A man who just turned 30. Everyone goes and praises LeBron for being old and doing that. I want to see that same love for Al Horford. But when you talk about getting the right matchups, right? Mm-hmm. If you are guarding Porzingis with your big has to step out to at least contest Porzingis shooting a three. And if you don't guard Porzingis with a big, then he's going to go inside and shoot over those mismatches, like we said. So what is the right matchup for the Dallas Mavericks?
Well, I think that they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do versus screen roll. They're going to have to figure out what are they willing to live with. Okay, I'm willing to live with a contested three-point shot. That's just my decision. I'm willing to live with that. And if they make 15 out of 30 of those, so be it. But what I know I can't live with is Derek White turning the corner, Drew Holiday turning the corner, creating a mismatch. Now Porzingis slides into the post. I got to double him. Now you're scrambling. So you're going to have to figure out defensively what you can do and what you're going to take away. The first thing I got to take away is dribble penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to take away penetration either with the drive or with the pass. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then once from there, then I'm going to build out the rest of my defense. Now, if the Celtics are making shots, that's going to be very difficult to do. It's easier said than done, but you're going to have to take away the paint touches because Jaylen Brown is a dynamic finisher at the rim. And Jason Tatum, we know he
that dunk that Jaylen Brown threw down over the two defenders was crazy.
And then when you start seeing Al Horford and these guys, now you're saying, okay, you got to take away something. So again, defending with discipline, figure out what you're going to take away, and then play with when you want to gain the momentum back in a series, the first thing you always try to do is get to the free throw line. You say, why the free throw line, BJ? Because when you get to the free throw line, it allows you to play 5-on-5 on the defensive end. It allows you to set up your defense and really control the tempo of the game. Now, both teams didn't get to the line a lot.
That's what the Celtics did after the Mavs made their run, though.
Yes. That's why I said at the beginning of the show, Luka, let's get him with the ball with a live dribble below the free throw line so that now we can get into the heart of the defense. Kyrie, I don't even think Kyrie got to the line. I can't remember. If he did, I can't remember. I don't even think he got to the free throw line tonight. Okay. So let's have the discipline to figure out how to manage the game. Because if you're going to win on the road, you're going to have to manage the tempo of the game. You play different at home. We all know that for the most part, the bench players will probably play better at home. But if you're going to win on the road, you better manage that game and really, really take advantage of playing 5-on-5, especially on the defensive end. So I think if they can get to the free throw line, establish that they are the more physical team by getting into the heart of the defense, I think it increases their opportunity to win this game. Because if Dallas continues to do what they're doing, I think it's going to be very tough for anybody to beat them the way they played tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I thought Boston did too, especially early in the game, kind of setting the tone, they picked Luka up further up the court too. Because a couple times Jaylen Brown picked his pocket. Jrue Holiday bothered him some out there. And I would figure they're going to continue to try to do that. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what Dallas does to combat that a little bit as well. But BJ hit it on the head, though. I don't care who you're playing or what. Not allowing people to get into the lane, that's the key for any defense. And or making it tough, showing, you know, crowding that lane. And when they did not do a good enough job of that. And if you can't stop dribble penetration, I don't care how good a defense you had coming into it, that's going to break you down. Because when you get into rotations, and Boston did a really nice job, because that initial pass out, you get a guy scrambling and then a quick swing, open corner threes. That makes even average shooters better shooters when you have that kind of, you know, kick out, a guy closes out hard at the guy, and then you get that extra swing. There's nobody there to rotate to him.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and that's
this is this is why I highlighted the Jaylen Brown dunk, right? Because you saw in the last series, Anthony Edwards was hesitant to drive into the paint when he saw the lane was all clogged. Jaylen Brown said, I don't care who's in front of the basket. I'm just going to try dunk on them. And then when you see that happen, that sets the tone for the rest of the team. But there's two players I want to shout out, BJ, as you talk about the role players playing better at home. I want to shout out Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard for what they did on the defensive side of the basketball, because there was some there was the first two possessions where Luka tried to target Sam Hauser. Celtics got stops on those possessions. Peyton Pritchard had a couple of possessions where he stayed in Kyrie Irving and forced him to miss the layup attempts that he was getting. So those two had a huge impact. But I want to ask you guys, what are your predictions for game two? Do you see the Dallas Mavericks bouncing back, or do you think the Celtics take care of their home court again?
Well, I picked the Celtics in seven. So, and I almost, you know, went with them in six. I believe it's very important for them to win game two. Because even though, even if they don't, they, you know, I still think they can win the series. But because Jason Tatum didn't have his sterling game, you know, didn't have, you know, in terms of scoring, and we know Kyrie didn't have his best game, I think both of those guys will come back and play well. Yep, you know, yep. Luka's gonna get his 30. But I'm gonna bank on Boston having learned lessons from having been here a number of times and understanding the importance. You know, they dropped a couple game twos, you know, in the earlier series. They didn't do that in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I know they have enough respect for this Dallas team that they don't want to try to give them life. So I think it's going to be a lot closer game. Don't get me wrong. I can see this game going down the final couple of possessions. But, and I can expect Dallas to play much better and make some good adjustments. But I'm going to still go with the Celtics to win a close game too.
PJ?
Well, you the way it looked tonight, you know, based on what I saw, I think the favorites would be the Celtics. Okay, the Celtics were terrific. However, I'm just interested, really interested in to see what the Dallas Mavericks are going to do, because they're not into a must-win situation. That could be in game three, okay, if they go down 0-2. But I want this to get – I want, for the sake of the series, to see a very highly contested game two. Game one, everyone was kind of filling each other out. They did what they did, da da da. But I really want to see a very contested game two. Now, I want to see a very competitive game. And that's what I want to see. I want to see both teams have an opportunity to win and then someone step up in a key moment during that course of a game. And then we can look back and say, maybe that was what they figured out in the series. Because game two is all about figuring out what you can and can't do versus a team in a series. Okay. And right now, I can't really answer that question for the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know what they can or can't do to win in this series because they didn't really establish anything, in my opinion, on both ends of the court. Where on the other hand, I thought the Boston Celtics established that they can play their style, if you will. I thought they imposed their will on the game, especially on the offensive end. And defensively, they really had a game plan versus Luka. They gave him a lot of different looks. They picked him up early in the shot clock and they committed to him as a team. So we'll see what they're going to do. If they have a chance to win the game, well, I'm really concerned going back to Dallas if I'm the Boston Celtics 1-1. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm, because you know that game three, that building is going to be rocking mm-hmm. up there. So yeah. I think for the Celtics to win this series, I think this is a must game for them, even though they won game one. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think they should really put a lot of emphasis on saying, let's get these two and then let's get one there mm-hmm. and then come back home and finish this thing out. Mm-hmm. Because what I don't want to happen for the Celtics, Luka is, he's so capable. Luka could arguably be the best player in this series.
In the world?
Yes, he could be the best player in this series. I think the Celtics might be the best team in the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Luka is the best player. And if you give a great player a chance, mm-hmm. more mm-hmm. times than not, he's going to figure it out. Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm concerned about. So bravo for the Celtics. But I really want to see a very competitive game just as a fan. And then I want to see who's going to step up in that big moment or which team is going to step up in that moment to really take control of this series.
Scott, any closing thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, other than I expect Boston again to come back with the urgency. And I'm looking again for them to have learned from previous trials and tribulations during the various playoff runs. This is that moment. I talked about Jason Tatum earlier, the maturation that he has shown as a player. They've got to show that as a team now. You know, that's Jaylen Brown as well. You know, Jaylen Brown, you know, as well as he played today, he shot poorly from the free throw line. You know, Derek White, you know, Drew has been there. Can Porzingis come back? Now, I don't expect him to score 20 points in 20 minutes, but he's got to have an impact on the game. He had three big blocks in the first quarter. Can he have the consistency necessary? Because like I told you in the beginning of the series, I thought he was going to be the X factor in this series. He's got to provide some strong play again. He may not score 20, but he's got to at least give you 15 points and a few blocks and some rebounds and to keep the Celtics rolling. So can they remain consistent and disciplined? Because I agree with BJ, you do not want to give this Dallas Mavericks team and a great player like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving mm-hmm. to let them go home 1-1 thing. Because that's your goal as a road team. You just want to get one of these first two. And, you know,
series don't begin. When's the series yes. begin?
Tell them, Mo. Tell them when the series begins.
Oh, the series begins.
Series
when the whole
begin.
Team loses a game.
you know it.
Yeah, exactly. You know it. So Boston, I'm looking for them to, I'm looking for the growth again. Mm-hmm. This, and the growth would be winning game two.
Well, The Boston Celtics are 3 wins away from giving me the best summer of my lifetime. It's hilarious if you think about it. They just got to play 500 basketball for the rest of the way.
Well, your prediction from the other day is off.
You see what I'm saying?
You're safe on that. You.
So now we go Mavs and 5.
Mavericks. Yeah, so you got Mavs and 5 now. I was watching the game. I said, as I was watching the game, I said, well, Mo's prediction is off.
I told you, you guys know what I'm doing. I just don't want to speak too soon. You know what I mean? Today on TV, they asked me for a prediction. I said, I ain't giving you a prediction. Let me just talk basketball. Let me not get ahead of myself. 3 wins away, boys. Don't let me down. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back after game 2. Because if it goes anything like game 1, boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. But let's see what Luka and Kyrie could do. Let's see. What a game it was. And I appreciate each and every one of you who tunes in. Scott, BJ, I appreciate you both being here. I know it's late for you guys. It's 5 a.m. for me. So we're going to wrap this one up. Until next time, get buckets.